In a world in which movies struggle to find plot, Alan Adams of The Main Edge breaks it down for you in Pass the Popcorn. Now on Downtown with Rich Kimball.
Let's all go to the lobby.
23 minutes after 5 o'clock, and yes, indeed, it's time for us to talk movies. As we welcome in Alan Adams of The Main Edge, joining us from a safe distance and apparently getting some emotional support from Stella. Hello, Al.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Very good. We miss you in here, but, you know, safety first.
Yes, no, it's important. Social distancing, washing your hands. Yes, no, my lovely bride actually just arrived home, and so Stella is very excited to see her.
I thought maybe she was excited to hear what you had to say about The Hunt.
Yeah, probably not. Probably not.
That's okay. So how was your weekend?
It was good. Like we pretty much resigned ourselves to being on lockdown, just like pretty much everybody else. Like trying to keep it together, trying to stay sane, trying to wash our hands and keep calm, carrying on, et cetera, et cetera.
There you go. Well, hey, that's what we all can do, but we're all in this together, help each other out, provide support, and that's why we've got you here to help us think about other stuff for a few minutes. And you did manage to get out to what it sounds like you were saying these will be the last Hollywood releases for a bit.
Yeah, the general gist seems to be everyone that had something going into wide release over at least the next probably month or so has postponed those releases. As it stands right now on the current calendar, the next wide release that will be coming to theaters, at least as scheduled, will be the animated sequel Trolls World Tour, which is going to launch on April 10th. Interesting fact about Trolls World Tour, it is a Universal Studios movie. Mm. And Universal just announced earlier this afternoon they're putting their films on demand services early.
Nice.
And so a number of films, including one we're going to talk about today, are going to go be available on demand starting this weekend, and going forward, any scheduled Universal releases, including the aforementioned Trolls World Tour, will launch on demand at the same time as they go into theaters. To deal with the reality that people aren't going to be going to the movie theater, probably not anytime soon anyway. Right. You know what I mean? So,
well, it's great that they're doing that, I think.
Yeah, it's smart. And again, like, it's not going to be, you know, and it's going to be pricier than your usual on-demand movie. The price point, as I understand it right now, is going to be $19.99 for a 48-hour rental, which, I mean, if more than one of you was watching the movie, I mean, that's right. Certainly affordable as far as price points go. But yeah, so stuff like
it's cheaper than a roll of toilet paper, right?
Yeah, apparently. Yeah, you have to wonder about something.
Yes, you do. No question about it. Always have. It's just more so now.
Right. You know, it's just the cream rises to the top and the other stuff sinks to the bottom in time of crisis. And
indeed,
I think we're seeing
does.
That pretty clearly.
No question. All right. So which one do you want to talk about first, Al?
Well, let's chat about, let's get Bloodshot out of the way.
Okay.
I mean, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that either of these movies is particularly good, but Bloodshot is, it's almost, in a lot of ways, you could almost view it as a sort of real-time case study with regards to just how difficult it is to launch a quote-unquote cinematic universe, because that's what they're definitely trying to do here. I think I overheard I was listening before I came on, and I heard Carrie mention that Bloodshot is another comic book, a superhero movie, and that's true. It's the first movie based on characters from the Valiant Comics imprint, it's like any comic book publisher, it's a pretty rich source of material. But this one is, I think by several degrees less familiar to the average person, to the layperson, than the works of either Marvel or DC. But you know, the folks at Sony are basically counting on being able to make this work a little bit better than what they managed with their efforts with Spider-Man when they were trying to make that a going concern. Look, it's pretty basic. It stars Vin Diesel, which tells you a lot going in. he plays a guy named Ray Garrison, who's an elite soldier who engages in high priority operations on behalf of the government. We watch him sort of execute this rescue mission in Kenya, after which he goes on this lovely Italian holiday with his wife. But the two are soon abducted by mercenaries led by an arms dealer named Martin Axe, who's played by Toby Kebbell. And said abduction leads to the death of not only Ray Garrison's wife, but Ray Garrison himself. But as you might guess, what with Vin Diesel being the star of the movie, death isn't necessarily the end, Rich.
Oh, well, that's good.
Our friend Ray wakes up in a lab. He's disoriented. He has no memory of who he is or where he's come from. It turns out he has been resurrected by a company named Rising Spirit Tech, devoted to developing sort of cybernetic enhancements for injured military personnel. The head honcho is this guy named Dr. Harding, played by Guy Pearce, who is, you know, this sort of tech genius and has this passion for helping soldiers. Now, our friend, you know, I could call him Ray Garrison, but we're just going to call him Vin Diesel.
Yeah.
So Vin Diesel has been resurrected through nanotechnology. So basically, his blood has been replaced with nanobots, and that gets you to the name of the film. So it's the standard sci-fi nanobot stuff, like enhanced strength, speed, heightened senses, rapid regeneration, like all that sort of general like super tech business. He starts to remember. He starts to get flashes of memory from what happened, and he starts to remember what happened to him and to his wife. And he goes rogue, much to the chagrin of Dr. Harding and his team, and goes after the guy who killed him. Only thing is, maybe it wasn't that guy after all, Rich. Yeah, it's that kind of movie. That basically boils down to, if you've lost all your memories, how can you be sure that the ones that you retrieve are actually your memories? And if they aren't, who stands to gain? And that's what Vin Diesel quickly learns, that there's a lot more going on at Rising Spirit Tech than meets the eye, and he has to figure out who he can trust and who he truly is.
Wow. All right. That's the story on Bloodshot. How about The Hunt? Now, this was one that, am I right that the release of this was delayed for a while?
Yeah, a couple of times. It first attracted attention back in late August. It has a scheduled release date of September 27th, I believe, is when it was scheduled to initially be released. But it gained a lot of attention in late August when somebody apparently told the president what they thought it was about, and he got mad online, like he does, and talked about how it was, indicative of, you know, liberal Hollywood's attitudes towards conservative people and blah, 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 which that in and of itself didn't necessarily bother the filmmakers. But when there were a couple of mass shootings very close together,
right,
closer to the release date, the folks at Blumhouse decided to push that back. Understandably so. I think the time would just simply wasn't right. And then so they moved it ahead to this release date, only to be confronted with a whole different set of circumstances that sort of torpedoed its chances to gain any sort of traction. Look, man, like, I'm on record as being someone who loves that sort of B movie conceit of hunting man for sport. Like those sorts of movies, there's always something sort of fun about them. Like I think back to the uh, the Rutger Hauer iced tea starring Surviving the Game as a particularly good example of the genre. And so it was interesting to see a movie like this that's going to tackle that from a different angle. Now, the basic gist, it's directed by Craig Zobel. The script's co-written by Nick Hughes and Damon Lindelof of Lost and The Leftovers fame. It's basically an effort to sort of elevate the B-movie, to sort of satirize the current political divide and the level of ideological discourse by really leaning into the sort of splattery nature of genre movies. Basically, the deal is this. The liberal elite is hunting vocal conservative voices for sport. And it's and the movie has, with all the societal and classist issues that that concept entails. I wish it was better. Like, I think that's my biggest issue with it. Like, the politics, frankly, are a little both sidesy and mush-mouthed as far as that goes. Like, it's funny because, if anything, one could argue that it actually leans right as far as you know, as who the good guys / bad guys are. Although there's nobody really good in this movie, but yeah, the plot's as simple as it sounds. So there's an email hack that leads to a prominent, wealthy liberal philanthropist. His messages, his private messages, get out, and one of the messages include, there's a text thread that includes a reference to someone makes a reference to, "Can't wait to go to the manor so we can hunt some deplorables, ha ha ha," and that's it. And so, in this world, that is seized on and turned into this vast and sweeping conspiracy theory with regards to the it's just called Manor House, and you know, it spreads through social media and through podcasts and various other sorts of mediums, and then you get a dozen people waking up in a field with gags where they're like, oh, there's this giant crate. It's full of guns. They go, they get their guns, and then someone off in the distance starts shooting them, and away we go.
Wow.
Yeah. The liberals are the ones, are the hunters. The conservatives are the hunted. But in terms of who wins, well, not me. I didn't win.
But we did, because you saw it. So we don't have to.
Look, it's got the sort of the Blumhouse sort of vibe to it. There are some moments that are very funny. There are some moments that are extremely gruesome, and some surprises along the way. Some good performances. Betty Gilpin is sort of the quote unquote final girl, and she's great. Hilary Swank shows up. It's not a spoiler because she's in the trailer, but you don't actually see her face until like 2/3 of the way through the movie. But she really gnaws on the scenery in a pretty intense way. And there are a couple of other standouts from either side. You've got Ike Barinholtz is in this, and he's pretty good. Ethan Suplee has a nice turn as sort of a paranoid podcaster guy. Glenn Howerton is on the side of the liberals, and he has some fun with it. Like, the performances are good. Like, it's actually a really strong ensemble, and some of the movie really works. Like, when they really lean into how insane the premise is, and really the sort of overly elaborate nature of both the plots to capture and kill these people, and the actual deaths themselves, which again, it gets pretty gross in a couple of spots. And I will freely admit to having laughed out loud in a number of places. Places I'm pretty sure I was supposed to laugh, so that's good. But again, I think its biggest problem is the movie tries to do too much. Like, it's one of those situations where the reach exceeds its grasp kind of thing. And when it tries so hard, the result is, you know, you get something that's kind of less than the sum of its parts. Which, you know, like I said, there are moments, but not really enough to salvage the overall result. And if I'm being honest, I probably like the movie more than it deserves to be liked, but there's no accounting for taste.
There you go. We appreciate it, though. Alan, thank you very much, as always. Will you be checking in with us on Wednesday?
I will, I believe. We'll do this again. Same bad time. Well, roughly same bad time, same bad channel.
All right, I look forward to it. Be well, stay safe, wash those hands, and give some love to Stella. Oh, I know you're doing that already.
Will do. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Alan. Alan Adams of the Main Edge Movie Reviews with us here on Pass the Popcorn.